The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Ron Geyer Roofing.
The Bible describes events that will mark the last days or end times. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Matthew 24:44 tells us, "Therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." Bible teacher Ron Geyer leads us through scripture that will help us to remain strong in the Lord. End Time Insights with Bible teacher Ron Geyer starts now.
Good evening, family. Ron Geyer with End Time Insights. Back again talking about the Bible. We love talking about the Bible. Did you know there's a verse in Malachi, the Italian prophet? Actually, that's Malachi. There's a verse there that talks about when the saints get together and we talk about God. The Bible says he puts our words in a book of remembrance. And I love that because we go through life, and if I meet somebody, and maybe you meet somebody for the first time, and you start building a relationship, and you want to brag on your family, you take out a picture. You show your wife and your kids your picture. Well, God does that, but he does it with words. That's why he puts them in a book of remembrance. Remember when the devil came before God about Job, and God says, "Have you not seen my servant Job, who's perfect in all his ways?" It goes something like that. But God uses words. Those are the photographs that God takes. That's why when we talk about him, he actually takes our words and he puts them in what's called a book of remembrance. So anyway, that was free, no charge. I'm still talking about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And I want to go over some stuff. Yes, I'm going to repeat something, but it's so worth it. Plus, I've expanded on it. And it's important, you know, 1 Timothy is full of warnings. You know, 1 Timothy is, chapter 4 is on par with, actually it's greater in warning strength than 2 Timothy chapter 3, where you have the 18 or 19 convictions upon end time mankind's behavior. And most of that errant behavior is found in the church. But anyway, 1 Timothy 4:1, this is the third session on this. "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Most people probably have never read that to think that, what? That, yes, some people will throw down their faith. Some people will walk from their faith. Some people will leave it behind. Why? Because they have given heed, they've given their attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I mean, that's intense. Where do you get these doctrines of devils from, right? People don't understand that. Well, we will tell you where they come from. But let me read that to you in the Phillips translation. "God's Spirit specifically tells us that in later days there will be men who abandon the true faith." And it's that phrase that has caused me to do this teaching. Depart from the faith. Abandon the true faith. That just sets alarm bells going off in me. I don't know whether to cry or weep or just shut up and pray. But men who will abandon the true faith, these are not people who don't know the Lord. These are people who know the Lord. They have the true faith. I'll start from the beginning. "God's Spirit specifically tells us that in later days there will be men who abandon true faith and allow themselves to be spiritually seduced by teachings of the devil." Wow. I mean, we've done this on purpose. We have allowed ourselves to be seduced by the teaching of the devil, and it has caused us to abandon the true faith. That is the gospel. That is the truth about the revelation of Jesus Christ and what he did for you, for your sin, that he was born of the Virgin Mary. He took upon himself the sin, our sins, so that we could be free. We didn't have to suffer the penalty of eternal hell. He did all that, went there, rose from the dead, and now he's seated at the Father. Hallelujah, at the right hand of the Father. I mean, this is serious business. This is the type of stuff you need to be hearing in your church. I'm sorry. Okay, we're saved now? Well, then we're supposed to be discipled. That's what we do. We are discipling you. I will talk about the things that your pastor may not talk about. Probably, if you're like the rest of America, most of you are sitting in a counterfeit church with a counterfeit pastor who has not been placed there by God. Therefore, this is the type of leader you have that is teaching you teachings of the devil. Teaching you, what is it called? Seducing you with false doctrine. Anyway, that's why this verse is so important. I want to expound on it because many people say, well, you know, I'm saved. I'm fine. Everything's good. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven. Once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. Well, wow. There's so much error in that even. Let's go ahead and look at the scripture and what it says. John 8:31 is going to, actually, I'm going to bring four scriptures into play. Once again, we are talking about those that have departed from the faith. It hurts to even say it. Anyway, John 8:31, Colossians 1:23, Hebrews 3:6, and Hebrews 3:14. We touched on them last week, but I really want to get into them. So John 8:31, Father, I pray that people receive this with the urgency that the Holy Spirit wrote it. You know, this wasn't written lightly. It shouldn't be taught lightly, Father God. These are desperate times. Satan has pulled out all the stops, and the church needs to do the same thing. For the church, all of the stops are intentionally studying the word of God. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So we have Jewish saints. They've been converted. They are now Christians. They are members of the church. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If, there's an if there. There's a qualitative, quantitative, there's a condition to people being my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If, then, the Bible is full of if, thens. If you will humble yourself on the mighty hand of the Lord, then the Lord will lift you up. I mean, promises of God are conditional. But this is conditional concerning one's salvation. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So we have saints now. We have believers now. We have people who have been born again. They believe on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe not only on the gospel, they believe on the person, right? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed not on the gospel, but they believed on him. Well, he is the gospel. And so he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You know, you can always tell where there's an impastor in the pulpit, where there's no God-called pastor in a church's pulpit. The saints there, they are weak, and they fall for every wind of doctrine. They have no discernment because they fail to judge. They are ill-learned in trying the spirits. The word of God in a church like this is secondary at best. The true man of God, they won't just reference the word of God. They won't just mention the word of God. They will teach and they will preach the word of God. And that's when the Holy Spirit of God shows up in the teaching. He is the Spirit of truth. He is our teacher. He is the revelator of truth. He reveals Jesus Christ to us. He is here to convict the sinner, or the saint even, of violating God's word. That's called sin. It is on the pastor of the church to assist individuals in assuring that they stay in the word of God. Remember, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, you must continue in the word. You must read and study the Bible every single day of your life. Why? Because the dangers are prevalent every single day of your life. As long as you are here walking on this earth, you are in danger. 2 Timothy 3 says, you are in great danger. You are at risk. So it is on the pastor of the church to assist individuals in assuring us that we stay in the word of God. He does that not only encouraging us, but by demonstrating to us what Bible study, what teaching of the word looks like. It's my humble opinion that I can lead you into the truth of God's word. We don't show movies in our Bible studies. We don't have videos. We talk about the word of God, talking about good Christian videos, okay? Because there's so many out there. But the further we get away from the word of God, the further we get away from God. That's why you need to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And that's what Jesus is telling us. If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. What is the inference there? If you do not continue in my Word, then you are not my disciples indeed. This is so important. We need to stay in the Word of God. I didn't say we need to stay in a good church. That would be fine. But more importantly than that, we need to stay in the Word of God. So then, it's on the pastor of the church to assist individuals in assuring that they stay in the Word of God. I want a church where I can go to, and my pastor excites me for the Word of God. He instills a passion when he's preaching the Word of God that I want to know the Word of God. When I got born again in 1981, the thing that won me most, number one, was the fact that I could talk to God today. I never knew that. I was, as a Catholic back growing up in the 50s, I wasn't encouraged to read the Bible. That's changed over the course of time. But I could talk to God today was first told me in 1981. And I said, wow, that won me. I'm a sanguine. I love relationships. I live for my relationships. Well, the fact that I could have a relationship with God on the spot now and then every day, sign me up. So I was all excited about that. The second thing that drew me into God's presence on a regular basis was the fact that these guys were up there. We came into an evangelical type of meeting, and they were quoting scripture, and I loved it. I fell in love. I didn't fall in love. I chose to love the Word of God. And I says, I want to quote scripture like them. I want to know scripture. These men, it's like when they said, Jesus, who is this? Son of Joseph, son of a carpenter. He speaks with authority. Well, these guys were praying the Word of God. I was receiving the power of the Holy Spirit inherent in that Word of God. And God gave me a supernatural hunger for the Word of God. I says, I want to be like them. I want to be able to quote scripture. I want to know what they mean. And God dropped in a teaching gift in me to go along with that. And so that's who I am now. So it's my humble opinion that I can lead you into the truth of God's Word as good as most. There can be no substitute, but we're not going to spend our Bible study time talking and showing movies. We are going to study the Word of God. And I see the lives of those who attend churches where Jesus and his Word is not a priority. It's not priority number one. Millions in America are attending churches where the Word of God is absent. Well, where the Word of God is absent, so is the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you are in great peril. Once again, John 8:31, Jesus, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. There is the encouragement. There is the warning. The second verse I spoke on last week that I really wanted to break down is Colossians 1:23, and it's in the same vein. It's written in the same vein. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that's what happened in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Some shall move away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So here, Paul carries the thought that you will remain saved, you will get the rewards in heaven, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and don't move away from the hope of the gospel. Paul carries the same thought, if you continue, this time it's the faith. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. Well, how do you grow your faith? By the word. They're hand in hand. They're partners. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you are not in a church where the word of God has a place of preeminence, your faith is not being fed, saints. And if your faith is not being fed, you are primed for seduction. And once again, 1 Timothy 4:1, that's what happened to them. They departed from the faith. Why? Because they gave their attention to seducing spirits. They were seduced. You know, the word faith in 1 Timothy 4:1 is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, something like that. And in context here, it's not that they quit believing, right? It's they didn't throw down their faith. Now the spirit, latter days, some shall depart from the faith. They didn't quit believing. What they did was, though, based on the context of that word for faith, pistis, P-I-S, pistis, T-I-S, they started believing something else. They still believed, they still exercised faith, but they moved away from the hope of the gospel. They moved away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their believers were still working. Their belief system was still intact, but they were seduced into believing a lie. Instead of believing the truth, they started to believe something else. They had been seduced by what? By doctrines of devils. This is intense stuff, folks, and you need to be aware of it. Most saints, because they don't read their Bible, because they don't study their Bible, because they don't attend a church where the Word of God is first and foremost with Jesus Christ as the topic every Sunday, they are not prepared. They are not armored against the attacks of the enemy. So they can get seduced. They fall for the teaching of the devil. They don't even know it's teaching of the devil. I saw this so-called prophet the other day, and he put something out there that, okay, the church is supposed to control every aspect of life in America today. We are supposed to rule politically. We are supposed to be ruling educationally. We are supposed to be ruling financially. Seven areas, seven mountains, they call them, where the church is supposed to be in charge of everything. That is false. That is deception. That's a doctrine of devils. What it does is it gets you carnally focused on carnality rather than keeping your eyes on the spirit. And that goes part and parcel, hand in hand with the doctrine of the end time that men will be lovers of themselves. We think of ourselves as God. We are being brainwashed into drifting away from the sovereignty of God and thinking that man controls his own destiny. I hear that all the time, and it's so false. It's a doctrine of devil. We have been seduced. You know, it's the same lie Satan gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. You will be like the Most High God. Well, here we are, 6,000 years later, right? And we're falling for the same lie again. We will be like the Most High God. We will control our own destiny. God is not sovereign on the earth. Come on, saints. Read the Blessed Bible. Learn the truth. You know what it is? We follow men instead of following God. It is taking us down. You need to follow God. You need to learn the Holy Spirit's presence. And you can only do that by reading and studying the Bible. So basically, both continuing in the faith and continuing in the Word, they carry the same thought, perseverance. They are quite similar. Faith and the Word of God partner together to do what? To reveal Jesus and God the Father to us. Based on this verse, it explains exactly the process of what Paul was telling Timothy would happen if he departed from the faith. Christians did not continue in the Word. They weren't continuing in the faith. Seducers were either the reason for them not continuing, or they were the product of them not continuing. Did you get that? They were either causing the problem, or they were the evidence of the problem. But either way, the saints that Paul was writing to warn Timothy about that were falling away, they started to believe wrong things. I said this before. The word for faith there is pistis, pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And in context here, he's saying they didn't quit believing. No, no. But they did choose to believe something else. Their belief was still in operation, but they had departed believing from the truth, the gospel. They were rejecting Christ and his words. They were still believing, but they changed what they were believing. They did not continue believing the doctrines of the gospel, the truth. And when that happens, they open themselves up to great seduction. The third verse, here we go, Hebrews 3:6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, we are of the household of faith, right? But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Now, confidence and faith, they're interchangeable here. If we hold fast the faith, the confidence, and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. If, we have got to follow the ifs and pay attention to them. Here's another truth, and this time by the Hebrews writer, whether it's Paul or somebody else, I don't know. We will remain Christ's until the end only if we hold fast to the confidence, the faith, and our hope. Let me read that one more time, Hebrews 3:6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we will remain in the house of God, as the house of God, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we will remain only if we continue to hold fast the faith and the confidence, rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. That's the endurance of the saints. You know, when Jesus is talking to the seven churches, he tells them, he that endures till the end, he that endures, he that endures. And it's so important. Your Christianity, it's a lifelong walk. People say sanctification is a process. I agree 100%. That's the making of you into a holy witness for God. But there's some discussion. A lot of people think salvation is a one-time event. Salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation is a process. That process includes justification at the new birth. It includes the process of sanctification till the end of your days, and it will result in the glorification of your life. That is the process of salvation. At any stop along the way, you can depart from the faith, you can move away from the word of God, and you can put that salvation at risk. That's what the apostasy is. People don't know what the apostasy is. The apostasy is people who love the truth, born again by the truth, live by the truth, feed on the truth. You are sanctified by truth. People no longer believe it. We reject the truth. That's where we fall away. So important. I can't overemphasize the importance of what Paul wrote to Timothy. Some shall depart from the faith. That's the apostasy. We see it. It's happening all over America. We're losing them by the tens of thousands. The church needs to do a 180-degree turnaround and start protecting the saints and teaching them how to protect themselves. Apostasy can no longer just be a word that's out there in the future for us that maybe one day we'll get to. It is here. We are in it, and it is removing millions from the hand of God worldwide. The protective care by pastors over the sheep is missing. Only the true pastor will recognize the danger. The impastors in our pulpits have not the hearts to fight for the sheep. They are nothing more than hirelings. They are supposed to be helping us hold fast our faith and our hope in Christ, in the gospel, in the word of God. Truth be told, they are failing on a large, great, grand scale. And the fourth verse I want to talk about, I can't believe I'm getting through this today. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3:14. We have the honor of sharing in all that Christ has if we continue until the end and have the sure faith we had in the beginning. One more time. We, us, you and me, the writer of Hebrews, we have the honor of what? Of sharing in everything that Christ has. Yes, that's ours. If we continue until the end to have the sure faith we had in the beginning. One more warning with a promise. It is an honor for the people of God to share in everything Christ has for us. Many believe that we're already participating in that sharing. That's more false teaching, but they would be wrong. The promise of sharing is predicated on the condition that we keep our first faith till the end. Just read the Bible. It's right out there. I'm going to talk about a verse in John next week. Very, very important. Matter of fact, it's coming up next, but I don't have enough time for it. One more warning here by Hebrews with a promise. It is an honor for the people of God to share in everything. The sharing doesn't occur, though, until the end, upon his return. It's important that we get our doctrine right. So many Christians read the word through the prism of their religion, their own personal belief system. They read the word through the erroneous teaching of men, and yes, even through the teaching of demons, as Timothy was told by Paul. It's time we break free from all of that and read the word of God for yourself. With the indwelling Holy Spirit of truth doing the teaching, your eyes will be open, revelation will come, your lives will change, and you will meet the Lord Jesus Christ up close and personal. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Father God, that have been seduced, that are listening to men that are nothing more than hirelings. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. They don't care for their souls. Like the Good Shepherd, they're not willing to lay down their lives for their sheep. Father, I pray that you move them out of churches where you did not plant them. I know you have leaders for them. I know you have pastors for them, true men of God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you bring them, that you reveal to them where they belong, Father God, that their salvation, their walk with you can take off, Father God, that they can come into the eternal supernatural life that is available to us as children of God. I pray that over each and every one of them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for End Time Insights with Ron Guyer. Listen again next Sunday night at 8 on 100.7 The Word, where faith comes by hearing. You can also listen to the podcast of this program by going to kkht.com. If you would like to contact Ron, email him at gospelguy@comcast.net.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.